You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Rob Ferret. Coming up, the new head of Wisconsin State Parks shares some of his goals for the department. That's coming up next. Now, after 20 years of war in Afghanistan and trying to shore up the country against the Taliban, the U.S. left the country, which then fell to the Taliban in a number of days. Over the last few days, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani has fled the country and Afghan citizens, fearful of a return to the Taliban rule that marked the years before 2001, have sought an escape through Kabul's international airport. President Biden defended the decision to withdraw in a speech yesterday, saying the United States had achieved the goals it set after the September 11th terrorist attacks, namely to prevent al-Qaeda from using the country as a base for more terrorist attacks. We're talking about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and the harrowing scenes we've seen in the days following it, and we want to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. What is your reaction to the news? Do you think the United States did everything right, or do you think things should have been done differently? What should the U.S. do now that the Taliban has taken over control of the country? We want to hear from you. 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Nazneen Barma is Director of the Scrivener Institute for Public Policy and an Associate Professor of International Studies at the University of Denver. Nazneen, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for inviting me to join the conversation, JC.
So let's just, this is how I want to start the conversation. What has been your reaction as someone who is a scholar who studies this to what we've seen over the last few days?
I think a combination of disbelief and despair, to put it starkly. I actually had the opportunity to be in Afghanistan myself in the summer of 2002 for a short time, a few weeks, conducting research there and working at the very beginnings of the international intervention there. And I think the fact that we could have ended up here 20 years later, if you had asked me then, I would have thought impossible. But I think in another way, the writing has really been on the wall. I think, unfortunately, things could have gone much better in the end game, even as we saw it coming.
Can you talk about some of that writing on the wall that kind of led us to here?
You know, so as you just mentioned in your intro, JC, the international community has been, and the American military has been working in Afghanistan to rebuild the state, rebuild the nation over the last 20 years since the United States and the Afghan Northern Alliance successfully defeated the Taliban in December of 2001 after the September 11th attacks. And it was a massive, it has been a massive operation over the last couple of decades, you know, trillions of dollars spent, obviously, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of American and allied forces on Americans, on Afghan soil. And I think, in some ways, the intervention has had its ups and downs. But I think over the last 10 years or so, the Taliban has been making steady gains across the country. And in as much as we've been getting, you know, I think rosy messages out of the administration, out of successive administrations, things have been going badly there for quite some time. And so I think analysts of Afghanistan are not terribly surprised by the outcome, but I think we are surprised, as you noted, by the speed at which this has occurred.
Yeah, because it feels like maybe even just a week ago, President Biden had said, you're not going to see the scenes that we saw in Saigon in Kabul. And then that's what we saw. What has been kind of the reaction there?
Oh, that's right. I mean, really sort of shocking in terms of, again, the pace at which it has happened. I remember kind of watching the news on Saturday, thinking I'm going to wake up on Sunday morning, seeing that Kabul has fallen to the Taliban, and that is indeed what's happened. And I think there's a combination, a sort of weird juxtaposition of an eerie calm in Kabul itself, in the capital city, where people are kind of shuttered up and staying indoors, and the Taliban soldiers are kind of patrolling the city, but there's very little sign that there is a battle per se happening. And on the other hand, these chaotic and really desperate scenes at the Kabul International Airport of Afghans trying to flee.
You know, President Biden has he's defended the decision to withdraw from the country, even though what we've seen over the last few days, maybe there could have been a stop put in place. Don't really know, but here's what he had to say about the decision.
There was only a cold reality of either following through on the agreement to withdraw our forces or escalating the conflict and sending thousands more American troops back into combat in Afghanistan, lurching into the third decade of conflict. I stand squarely behind my decision.
So Biden is pointing to the fact that this has been a four-president, close to a three-decade excursion in Afghanistan. You know, what might this have looked like had, you know, the next president come in? Could this have been something that we might have been there for a while?
I think that's right, JC. I think, you know, what something that sort of President Biden said in that speech that maybe got hidden by some of the other things and the reactions to the speech is that he made this kind of very clear statement that if we were to stay, we would be escalating. I think that there has been a fiction over the last 3 or 4 years that the 3,000 troop presence we have had in Afghanistan since President Trump, you know, authorized the first kind of major withdrawal, that that was an equilibrium, that was a stable situation in which if we just continued that troop presence, everything would kind of continue along. And I think that's false. I think the fact, again, is that the Taliban had been making enormous gains over the last 5 years and certainly over the last decade. And I think, you know, a couple of different things were going on the ground that you know, people weren't sort of necessarily recognizing, in particular, the fact that, the Taliban have been fighting and successfully kind of claiming territory. They've also had a massive campaign. They've been laying the groundwork for a decade and more of working with local tribal leaders, with civilian and military leaders. You know, there's an apocryphal saying where a Taliban official met a U.S. official at the peace talks and said, you have all the clocks and we have all the time. The Taliban has been biding its time, waiting for the United States to leave the country, knowing that that would happen eventually. And so I think that President Biden was absolutely correct in the assessment that were we to stay, it would require a ratcheting up on our part.
Our guest right now is Nazneen Barma. She is the director of the Scrivener Institute of Public Policy and an associate professor of international studies at the University of Denver. I want to go to one of our callers right now, Nazneen. We have Brad in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Brad.
Hi there. I would like to say a whole lot. I'm a veteran of Desert Storm and the War on Terror. And I feel like what we should be doing right now is looking back at what we've done and holding people accountable. The United States had no right to go into Afghanistan, to bomb them, to overthrow them, appoint another government, have their government invite us in. It's all a bunch of crimes, and nobody's talking about that. I mean, yes, we got to, you know, stop the Taliban from hurting people if we can. But, you know, Afghanistan has sovereignty, and we need to honor that.
Brad, thank you so much for that call. Nazneen, what is your reaction to Brad's take here?
Brad, thank you for your service. I taught at the Naval Postgraduate School for 10 years, where many of my students were mid-career officers who had similarly served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And many of them, I think, shared your sentiment. The notion that you know, the question of what our goals were in going into Afghanistan in the first place in 2001, it's important to remember that we were, the American operation was in place in order to rout al-Qaeda as a reprisal to September 11th. And then there was a lot of, hesitancy about what the Bush administration at the time's aims were. I mean, Donald Rumsfeld, the then Secretary of Defense, sort of, you know, at the time said kind of precisely what Brad just suggested, which was that we should not be in the nation building business in Afghanistan and that the goal was to stabilize the country and to get out. And I think that what the question sort of really points to is that there were a series of goals in Afghanistan on the part of the American U.S. government, on the part of our international allies, and on the part of the Afghan government that we sort of put in place as a result of the intervention that were often contradictory. And those contradictions were never resolved over time. And some of those contradictions have resulted in, the crisis that we're seeing today.
Nazneen Barma is director of the Scrivener Institute of Public Policy and an associate professor of international studies at the University of Denver. She's with us to talk about what we're seeing in Afghanistan over the last few days as the United States begins to pull out of that country. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. The Afghanistan war has been in effect for about 20 years. What have you thought about it over those 20 years? What is your reaction to what we've been seeing over the last few days? What should the United States do next, if anything? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we will continue this conversation and take your calls right here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We continue our talk right now with Nazneen Barma about the end of the war in Afghanistan. She's the director of the Scrivener Institute of Public Policy and an associate professor of international studies at the University of Denver. You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. And I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Mike in Brookfield. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I'm kind of curious as to where the UN is on this. We've heard almost nothing from them. In a way, I'm kind of surprised that our administration didn't communicate with them that there may be some need for maybe some peacekeepers that could transition in and out or something like that. But it's been almost silent out of the United Nations.
Mike, thank you so much for that call. You know, international reaction and international participation here.
Absolutely. I think that's a really important point. You know, when Afghanistan, when the war first started in 2001, it was a partnership of the United States, its NATO allies, the forces, the allied forces that were in place in Afghanistan to maintain stability, were the ISAF, the International Stabilization Forces in Afghanistan. And I think what has sort of happened over the intervening 20 years is that much of the other elements of the international community have kind of splintered in some ways in terms of their relationship to the Afghan government. So what the UN has been much more involved in over the last 15 years, at least, is the sort of state building enterprise. So aid for public service delivery, aid for kind of building up the capacity of the Afghan government to deliver on its contract with the Afghan people. I think that the caller is exactly right to point out that it does appear that the administration has not or had not in the last couple of weeks and months communicated and as clearly with the remaining other international partners Afghanistan. And I think that, what I was reading this morning is that President Biden and Secretary Blinken have been making a lot of phone calls over the last couple of days, trying to kind of walk some of that back in terms of that miscommunication.
Thank you again for that call. I'm going back to our listeners right now. We have Jane in Manitowoc. Hi, Jane.
Hello. I happen to be an Army and Army Reserve retiree. I retired in 2004. But I do watch a lot of the news, and with this situation, there was no way to gracefully leave. And so no president wanted to be the one. They all ran on, we'll get the troops home. And then they got the news from the military leadership that when they got ready to leave, it would be a vacuum and that the Taliban would take over. And they all went, oh, well, that's not what we want to be responsible for. And with the last few years, Taliban going from village to village, buying up weapons and everything else for people that were hungry, people that needed money, it disarmed the citizenry. So there was no ability for even the citizens to stand up against the Taliban.
Jane, thank you so much for that call. Your reaction to what Jane had to say, Nazneen.
Thank you. I think, and Jane, thank you for your service. I think a couple of different things that I would sort of react to there. One is that, you know, President Biden campaigned on, as a number of other candidates did, on ending the forever war. And I actually, for what it's worth, I think that was the correct decision for all the reasons you noted and many more. This was A long drawn out endeavor on foreign soil where, you know, objectives have sort of gotten muddied and have been contradictory, as we were just discussing a few minutes ago. And I think, you know, many people agree that the time was right to pull out. I think we can separate out the question of whether withdrawing was the right policy decision, the right strategic decision, from the question of how it was handled sort of tactically on the ground over the last few weeks and months. And I think that, you know, the real anger that you're seeing and hearing from you know, politicians across the aisle, from veterans, from those who've served, is that things could have gone much better in terms of the implementation. The second thing I would just note is to amplify the point made that the Taliban have been working on winning over the population for a decade and more. And so when it comes to the time for the Afghan population, the defense and security forces, Afghan government to resist, the notion that they were going to put up a fight back, they had been worn down for many, many years in terms of their ability to put up a resistance.
Nazneen Barma is our guest right now, director of the Scribner Institute of Public Policy at the University of Denver. Now, Nazneen, we have seen some really harrowing video coming out of Kabul in particular, Afghan citizens really, really trying to, many of them trying to escape. How do you think we are in the coming weeks going to handle Afghan citizens that want to be resettled because they don't feel safe in Afghanistan right now?
JC, I think harrowing is exactly the right word. And as you noted at the very top of the segment, this was exactly what the Biden administration was hoping to avoid, these scenes that we've been all watching with horror. I think, you know, it's important to talk about what Afghan citizens are actually fleeing in terms of what the sort of Taliban governance program is. And, you know, I think there's still some question as to what we're going to actually see transpire in terms of what the Taliban's governance aims are. We all remember them as the sort of radical Islamist state. And I say Islamist because it was a political as well as a religious program that was in control of Kabul, if not the entire country, from 1996 to 2001, where we saw public stonings, public executions for people who were not following their program, the banning of women and girls in public spaces, the banning of girls in schools, the persecution of religious minorities like the Shia Hazara in the center of the country. Many of us will remember the horrifying destruction of the great Buddhas at Bamiyan. And so the notion that here was this, you know, radical ideology kind of taking hold. And I think there's a question as to how much of that will be the case moving forward. So it seems to be the case right now that the Taliban are adopting a more conciliatory kind of, you know, trying to kind of, you know, appease in some sense the notion that they're going to kind of go back to the same policies, that they will be more welcoming of women in public spaces and girls in schools and so on and so forth. But this is a question of time, and we'll sort of see what transpires. And so I think, you know, the question of why people are trying to flee is really a question of their experiences of the past, more than 20 years ago, and their uncertainty and fear about what the future brings with the Taliban regime in power. And then, you know, the question that I think you're also asking is a question about sort of what is our moral culpability, our moral responsibility toward the people who fought with our troops, who offered support to the American intervention, to the various international organizations, and so on. And I think I share, you know, many people share the sentiment that we do owe, many Afghans something. And the question is sort of what, in terms of what we could be doing for them.
Well, then let's look domestically. Then we've heard that there are some places that are already ready to accept refugees. Wisconsin, we could see people arrive in Fort McCoy. But there you'll always have people say, no, they should stay. And you'll have other people on the other side say, yes, we owe them a safe haven. How do you see that conversation playing out over the next few weeks?
I think one thing that I've been really kind of amazed and comforted by is the sort of examples that you were just giving of people really kind of reaching out, to open their arms to refugees and kind of recognizing how desperate some of these situations are. I've heard, a number of veterans talking on public radio over the last few days about their translators, their drivers, people who are reaching out to them on their cell phones and via social media begging for some kind of assistance. And we've on the scholarly side, there are a number of Afghan scholars in the country who are kind of desperately trying to leave the country for their academic freedom and indeed for their very lives, fearing that things that they've said in the past are grounds enough for punishment. And I think this is where we as American citizens and residents of this country can call on our representatives to demand that some of these Afghans are indeed brought into the country. And there are obviously sort of legal implications in terms of bringing people on in under these special immigrant visas that we've heard so much about over the last few days, in which there is a big processing backlog. But there are other solutions being floated in terms of taking certain groups of people, Afghan refugees, to other safe haven countries and sort of guaranteeing safe passage, at least out of Afghanistan, before the questions of resettlement really kick in. It's going to be, fascinating, and I'm hopeful about the conversation that might unfold on the American political scene about this.
We only have about a minute left. What will you be watching for? We've talked about refugees, but what will you be looking at maybe politically or on the international stage over the next few weeks as well?
I think one of the things that I'll be watching, looking at, is the ways in which the Biden administration sort of, now that it has in some ways admitted that it had not planned adequately for this, the speed that we've been talking about kind of caught the administration by surprise, how it will try to pick up the pieces and move forward on some of these very difficult issues, in particular on the question of Afghan refugee settlement and leaving some semblance of stability behind. The other thing I would just note very quickly is there still remains the question of whether there is a political to be made with the Taliban. The U.S. has a peace deal with the Taliban. There is a question of what the domestic political settlement in Afghanistan could look like. That's still a very live question.
Nazneen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, JC.
Nazneen Barma is the director of the Scribner Institute of Public Policy and an associate professor of international studies at the University of Denver. She talked with us about the end of the war in Afghanistan and what we've been seeing from Afghanistan, from Kabul, over the last few days. Now, coming up, we will be talking to the new head of the Wisconsin State Park System, so stay with us. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.